Podcast with Amanda, Shandy, and Colleen. My name is Colleen.
My name is Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
And welcome to the show, everybody. This is episode so close to 69, 68.
Almost there.
So close.
Yes, season 2, episode 23, our second to last episode of 2017. Hello.
Howdy.
Hey.
How goes it?
It goes.
Wait, so we're going to end the year with 69? That's pretty brilliant.
I think we are. I thought that was the plan.
That's pretty poetic.
Good job, us. Yes.
Yeah.
I actually thought today that we had 2 more weeks in between, and then I was very excited to learn that there was only next week.
Right. Right, yeah.
Like, all right. I got to get through this week, then next week, then we only have 1 more week after that, and then we'll have a couple of weeks off. And then Jay was like, did you listen to the Patron's Choice show? Because you guys did the Patron's Choice show last night.
We did.
What was it? Holidays?
It was Holiday Traditions and a mat list. We also had a mat top 10 list, which was fun to experience that in real life.
Hmm. Was it everything that you thought it was going to be?
And more. It was great.
What do you do? Top 10 side dishes or something?
Yeah, it was top 10 side dishes. I would argue not all of them are actually side dishes. But, you know, it wouldn't be a mat list without a Patrick Swayze of sorts.
Oh, no. Oh, no. There's your teaser. So if you're a patron at the $5 or more level, you can go check that out. It is in your.
And if you're not, I would consider becoming one.
Just for this.
Just for this. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Please pimp the episode.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. But much as you also were kind of couldn't remember when our live show was, Jay put me on spot a little bit. asked me what was new in broadcast land, and just like, you know, being in the third grade and being called on by the teacher, I went totally blank and needed a prompt of our live show. And then I couldn't remember what date it was and I didn't know what time it started. So if you're a patron, I gave you precious little information, but I did have it in my calendar. So we did look it up.
December 12th, everybody.
December 12th.
Yep.
I said maybe 8:30, maybe 9 o'clock.
Because it depends. Set that.
Yeah, because I don't think we had set it. We'd set the date, but I don't think we had set a time.
Well, I think it's only probably proper that we started at 9.
I think that makes the most sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know there's a 69 joke in there somewhere, but I'm tired. I have a headache. I was telling you before we started that the weather in Raleigh is going to drop from 70 degrees to 50 and rainy. And I feel like my cheeks are being murdered right now.
That's such a weird response that it's like in your sinuses like that. Oh, that's
really
so interesting.
Is. Like I thought I was going to throw up twice before. I was like, okay, this doesn't feel hormonal. It just hurts strictly.
Right. Not like pregnant lady throw up.
I was like, which throw up is this? It took a second. And then I pinpointed and was like, nope, this is just in my face.
Oh.
Shandy had to restart her computer. So she'll be back in a second. She's playing the part of Chris in Boston tonight.
Yeah, she's having a rough go of it.
Her internet, that is. So listen to that show, everybody. I'll do the patron spiel now, since I'm sure most people stop listening by the time
they get
to the last 5 minutes.
That's true. I gave you a really good segue there.
Okay. If you want to become a patron, you can go to patreon.com/jandjack, or you can go to jandjack.com and click on the Become a Patron link that you can find on the right-hand side of the website twice. So please do
it.
And thank you to our patrons that make our show possible, especially at the Creepy Mailman, Tack from Tokyo, Molly the Millennial, and Eckhart. Thanks, guys!
Hooray!
All right, I think Shandy is having literally the longest computer restarting in the history of restarting right now. So.
I know, I don't want to like do too much without her.
I know. Okay, Shandy's back, everybody.
Yay, welcome back!
Woo. I was having a real problem getting back in.
That's what she said.
That's what she said.
Or something like that.
Yeah. I didn't know that my computer was not willing. We had an agreement. We were fine. But it was the internet or something. I don't know. Whatever.
Gotcha.
That's what happens
in your
when
absence,
you bring a third party in.
In third your party absence.
It can be complicated. Yeah.
It can get complicated.
We talked about how, I started painting my nails while you were gone. And we talked about how my sinuses are killing me and I thought I was going to throw up twice before. So that's what you missed.
Yep. All right.
And that's, you know, the recap that all of our listeners are probably like, really, the story sucked the first time.
Still sucks.
It still sucks the second time. That's what she said.
So I have a question.
Yes.
Yes.
Just before we were recording, I was talking to my roommate about, like, laser hair removal.
Ooh, my sister does it, loves it.
And actually, like, so more accurately, she was talking to me about that because she was, like, trying to see if I had friends who had done it, if I knew sort of, like, what the pricing was supposed to be because she was considering it. And honestly, like, I told her, like, I thought that was something that only, like, famous, super rich people do.
Once they go to Groupon, everybody can do it.
For the masses.
Yeah, so I would be curious to know because I have literally zero friends who have done it that I know of. And as she was talking about it, I was like, oh my God, sign me up. Because I'm like, on the one hand, I'm like, the idealist in me is like, we should just all be hairy and like not remove any hair and like fuck all of that. But then on the other hand, it's like, well, I shave my legs on a regular basis and
it really does.
It would be
better.
Nice. It feels better too. It's like, I like the smooth feel. And if I'm going to shave it, then like, why not? Why not have to never shave again?
I gotta say, I'm at that point. Here's my TMI. I'm at that point in pregnancy where I can't shave everything anymore.
I can't reach.
I can't see certain things anymore to even take care of them.
Let it go. But I mean,
out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah.
And hair's not a big deal. Like, I don't think that it should be a big deal. Like, for like your partner or for whatever. But like, if you know. There are things that I shave and things that I don't shave. Mm-hmm. But
that's fair. It's like your own personal aesthetics. If you feel prettier, if you feel cleaner, if you feel just better shaving something or not, then who cares? Do it.
Yes. And if you can get it removed with a laser,
even better.
Totes.
I told her that I would talk about it on the podcast and see if anyone had any experiences or pricing to share, because I don't know what's normal. And like, she was telling me that the prices that she's seen so far have been more expensive here than in Europe. Mm-hmm. But
that makes sense.
Since you have to like be in one place for a while, like she can't just do it in Europe because she lives here now. And it might be more expensive also because we live in an expensive town. So I would just be curious to know.
Are you guys looking to do it on your legs, I assume?
Legs and maybe bikini line. My question was, can you do armpit? I don't even have a lot of armpit hair, but and it's like the easiest thing to actually shave.
Right.
I
have dark hair too.
Yeah, it's worse and really it's the worst in my armpits. I could have sworn that my sister has done it before. I know my boss has done it and really likes it. I don't know about pricing, but I can find out. Eyebrow threading though, like if you're thinking about threading your eyebrows. I know
What is that even?
So I think it's just instead of like having to wax your eyebrows all the time, they like thread. Do you know more about this, Amanda?
It supposedly hurts less. So instead of like tweezers or wax and like ripping the hair out, the threading apparently like, I don't know, like coaxes the follicles out with the thread. Like it's kind of like a crisscrossy thing,
right?
Yeah.
Because
you're removing the full hair. Like you're removing it like at the follicle, like the whole hair comes out. So it's like the same idea as waxing. It's just supposedly less painful. So people that are like afraid of it, threading tends to be a safer, less threatening option.
They do it in the food court in my mall.
Great. Apparently it's more sanitary too.
Yes. I will say my eyebrows are like the one part of my body that's like naturally perfectly aligns with our current societal norms. So I don't like.
You mean you have two of them?
No, like the shape of them and the amount of hair that I have in my eyebrows.
Gotcha.
Like I don't want them at all.
I don't either.
Oh, I do all the time.
It's the one thing.
I love getting my eyebrows waxed, which is real weird, I know. But
I used to, but then I realized it was a waste of money because my hair's so like thin, you can't see it anyway. So I just pluck the stray hairs, like,
oh, not me. I'm hairy.
As I see them.
See, I don't really know what you would remove from mine, but because they're just so perfect the way they are. It's my thing. It's
That's why I've never dyed my hair before.
Life is great for you.
Hair color is perfect.
Ditto. I did.
Apparently, I thought it was illegal to dye your hair, so that's why I didn't do it. God,
well, it should be illegal to dye red hair. I got blonde highlights a couple of times in high school, and then I realized, like, fuck, I have red hair. What the fuck am I doing?
Right.
Never went back.
So,
well, it was cool. You know, Ginger Spice had those big blonde things. They were cool.
Right. It was the late 90s.
Yeah.
You know.
Shandy, also while you were gone, we talked about the Live 69 show.
Yep.
Which we think we set for 9 o'clock next week, December 12th. 9 o'clock Eastern.
Yeah.
Sounds about right.
So
I don't think we set a time. So I think we can just set it now. 9 o'clock Eastern.
Yeah.
Fantastic. We'll do that. Okay. There we go. Done. Next week is the 12th. That's the Alabama election, right?
Oh, God, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
So it could either be like a real depressing evening or a real depressing evening. No, I'm just kidding.
Just like more of what we've already been experiencing, which is a lot of crap.
So yeah, anyway. Like you would think it'd be pretty clear, but we've been shown that. Yeah, we've been shown time and again.
Some things are more important than women's safety.
Shandy says, go fuck yourself.
Pretty much. Oh my God, yes.
But
all
anyway,
the yes.
Guys, what have you been up to? Anything interesting, fun this weekend? I think Amanda did something.
I did. I had a great weekend, but I had a really funny story that happened to me on the way home.
I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah. It was great. It was like, and the picture didn't do it justice. I couldn't get a full body shot, but it was like something out of a movie, guys. So it's raining here in New York City today, and no one told me. And apparently, I didn't check the weather forecast. So when I left work, I didn't grab an umbrella. So it was fine. It was like kind of drizzling as I went to my therapy appointment, but it like wasn't too bad. But when I left therapy, it like started like a real proper drizzle. So I'm walking to the subway over by Macy's, and I'm standing on a cross street across from Port Authority, standing too close to the road, as I often do, and a cab comes by, and like something out of a movie, a huge wave of dirty street water splashes me, the person next to me, and then the person next to them.
Oh no.
Like it got on my coat. It like got as far up as my shoulder, I think. It went high. Like my jeans are soaked. The guy next to me is like cursing. And then they're like these two other guys that were out of the splash zone. They're like, oh damn. So I just started laughing because I was like, what can you do? Like, what can you do? If it wasn't happening to me, yeah. I would think that was freaking hysterical.
Yeah, the splash zone. I like that.
Yep. So I just started laughing, and then it started really raining. So then I had to walk another two blocks and an avenue, and it was pouring rain. I had to cut through the Old Navy just to get a little relief. Like the Old Navy in Herald Square has doors on either side of the street, so I just cut through to like get myself a little closer to the subway. So by the time I got underground, like my hair was dripping, like I was just soaking. I was absolutely soaked. Aww. I feel terrible for the person that I sat next to, because there was a seat available and damn it, I was going to take it.
Oh no.
Yeah. I got home looking not as good as when I had left work tonight.
It's okay. You still look good. Yeah.
Well, and also like those jeans, we're going to Atlanta this weekend to celebrate
early Christmas. Them.
And I was going to take those jeans and now I don't think I can, because they're going to be all dirty, street watered.
Oh,
and well, we just did laundry.
Can you like?
No.
This is gonna sound really stupid. How
can I wear them inside out?
No. How dirty street water? Like, is it enough that you can like wring them out in the shower or something?
I think we're gonna have to see. I have them like draped to dry. Like everything is drying right now, okay. So I think I'm gonna have to assess the situation once everything's dry. Because I'm also concerned. Like it got all over my coat. Like, is my coat okay? Do I need to get my coat dry?
Oh man.
So we'll see.
I'm just imagining you as like crisscross.
The splash zone. I really like that.
The splash zone. Yeah. That it was like SeaWorld.
Yeah.
That happened to me once at Marist with the snowplow. We had a snowy morning. I was on the sidewalk and I was walking down to the communications building and the snowplow got me.
Oh yeah, that's way worse. That's way worse. I would rather be hit by dirty water than dirty snow. At least the water wasn't cold.
It wasn't so bad because it was so funny, but yeah.
It's really funny. It happens. It totally happens.
It happens. But anyway.
Yeah. No, the rest of the weekend was really good. I rode the nostalgia train. Yeah. Great. Got to see some friends I hadn't seen in a while, which was also really great. God, what else did I do? I had a friend's holiday party. They recently moved out to Jersey City, so I took the PATH train into New Jersey.
Ooh.
And it was really nice. And yeah, it was just like a good weekend of like seeing people and getting stuff done. I made candles. I baked a banana bread. I did the laundry. It was great.
Ooh. Oh, okay. So you might be able to help me then with this.
Okay.
So I have a white elephant gift for a party I have to get. Okay. I think it was like $25 or $20 or something. Okay. I have no freaking clue. Does anybody have any good, it's all people our age, any good suggestions for like good white elephant gifts that's not like, here's a gift card to Starbucks for $20?
Okay, I have a couple of great suggestions because I actually just did a white elephant over the weekend.
I love white elephants.
Yes. So first thing that I would maybe not recommend getting.
Oh boy.
So we had like a Christmas party over the weekend and we invited like my roommate's friends and my friends and like, you know, I invited like the neighbor, like she's come to like our Christmas party before, you know, she's like maybe a little bit older than me and like she has a son and she, you know, she's like, I think of her as like serious mom neighbor, but you know, who like probably likes to have a glass of wine every now and then. So we invited her or whatever. And she came and she participated in the white elephant. And hopefully she doesn't listen to this because that would be awkward.
Did she get shit-faced?
It's not so much that. It's more that when we did the white elephant, so we said $15 to $25 because, like, you know, you don't want to get, like, a total piece of shit, but also we don't want to ask people to spend a lot of money.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure she went past the $25 mark because the gift that she got, which was the gift that Frank ended up, you know, randomly choosing, you don't know what you're going to get. Mm-hmm. With a fucking vibrator.
Oh my god.
Oh, I'm really glad I brought this up. Tell me more. Wow.
So it's a vibrator and she was like really excited about her gift. And the thing is, like, it's funny, but it's also like, you're my neighbor. Like, you sometimes take care of my cat. Like, I don't, you know. I don't know.
Was she like, unexpected. This is the best. This is my favorite brand.
So I would say, like, maybe think twice. But again, like, any good vibrator, and it's not going to be a good vibrator. Like, I think it's probably going to be out of that $25.
Yeah. Well, maybe she got a Cyber Monday deal on it.
Maybe she did.
Yeah. Hey, she wanted to be in the splash zone.
So that was that. So what Frank got, and I don't even know like how he learned about this, but it was kind of a hit. So, I can like send you a link or whatever if you're interested. It's this little hamster that he ordered on Amazon. And so it's like this little stuffed animal that you can turn on and off with a battery, much like the vibrator.
Is there a Richard Gere joke in here?
Oh no.
No.
You don't want to know. Keep going.
That took me a second and then I got pop culture.
She got there without the vibrator. Go ahead.
Okay.
Better need her neighbor.
Weird. Okay. So anyway, so it's this little hamster that, like, when you turn it on, when you talk, it sort of like parrots back to you what you said.
Oh boy.
And it sounds, I mean, it sounds kind of like whatever, but like when you start playing with it, it's kind of hilarious. And so anyway, I think it's a perfect white elephant because it's like random and funny, but it's also not a total piece of shit. Like, you'll have fun with it.
Okay.
Nice.
Cool.
Yeah, that's way more fun than anything I was going to suggest.
Well, what were you going to suggest? Equal time.
I think a small bottle of booze or wine is always a good hit. I think like a nice bag of coffee, Anthropology candles. Those things are real nice. And who wants to spend their own money on, on that kind of thing? It's like everybody likes those candles, but no one wants to drop the $25 to buy themselves one because it seems too lavish.
So I suppose it depends on your approach. I usually kind of go for like the something that's kind of funny, like almost a gag gift, but not like
a gag gift people would enjoy.
Yes, and now we're all laughing because we're thinking about gagging and dildos and
vibrators. What about those little like pop toys that you talk about? Like, would those be appropriate?
I guess. Whatever it is, though, I have to have it by Saturday, so.
Okay. Oh, also, the gift that I got, it's this, like, mug. It's like this. Here, let me. I can actually show it to you because it's right next to me.
Okay.
So, it's like like holiday.
Oh, cool.
Mug, and then two little, like, things to make hot cocoa.
Yeah, it's like a hot chocolate kit kind of thing.
Yeah, that's cool. And cookies. That's really fun.
I've seen and then, at Target, I think.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I'm sorry, Costco. I saw that something like that at Costco the other day.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, but I feel like all those stores have something similar.
Yeah, that's
cute. Like good, like just to have on hand gifts, like just in case. Mm-hmm.
Sorry. No, so that's cool. And she also, my friend who bought that also added like a little journal and some pens.
Oh, I like
that. So like, you know, you could always add something. That's very much nice. But yeah, so I was excited about that.
Yeah, no, that's a good gift. I like that.
Cool.
Yeah.
Thank you. So I'm usually pretty good at gifts, but this year I'm just kind of, I don't know.
What about like a small pack of like Cards Against Humanity or something? How much does that cost?
I don't know. Can't be that much though.
Yeah, if 25 is the limit, that might be a good gift too. I feel like people really enjoy that.
I've definitely bought board games in the past for White Elephant.
Yeah,
because board games are great.
Board games,
but you don't always seem to like
buy them for yourself.
Yeah. Cool. Thanks, guys. I will take yours. I will write down your suggestions when I re-listen to this to edit. Since my nails are wet right now and I can't.
Fair. I applaud your commitment to the nail painting.
Thank you.
Maybe I'll do that tomorrow with the 3 nail polishes that I can wear.
Oh man.
Oh.
So, do we want to move on? We have a ton of feedback, and we actually have something fun to start with, which I think might become a broadcast holiday tradition, and that Bad Sex in Fiction Awards for 2017.
Yay! I'd completely forgotten about this until we got this email, and then it just brightened my spirits.
Cool, cool. Cool. All of my community watching is coming in. okay, so this is from Matt, the Bad Sex in Fiction 2017 Awards. Ba-ba-da-da. Hey, Brawl, just that time of year again. They've announced the winner of the 2017 Bad Sex in Fiction Awards. And there are some doozies this year. Maybe you'll want to save this for the live show, but if not, well, we didn't. There is some great fodder for the broadcast players!
We just couldn't hold on any longer.
Some of them have multiple excerpts, which is why I split it up with asterisks. Matt. All right, broadcast players, you want to do this? I guess you want me to start?
Sure.
This is called The Destroyers by Christopher Bolin. Hold on, let me actually sit up and pretend like I care for this. Not pretend, I do care. I just can't breathe certain ways that I sit. She covers her breasts with her swimsuit. The rest of her remains so delectably exposed. The skin along her arms and shoulders are different shades of tan, like water stains in a bathtub. Ew. Her face and vagina are competing for my attention, so I glance down at the billiard rack of my penis and testicles.
Oh, God.
We'll never be the same.
Yep. What? Like... Oh, no. Such visuals. Such terrible, terrible visuals.
I also saw in Costco this weekend, I guess there's a 50 Shades of Grey book written from Christian Grey's point of view.
Yes. I read part of that from our 50 Shades of Grey podcast, Colleen.
Did you really?
I really did.
Oh, damn. I was drunk on that one.
Do you want those minutes of your life back?
Well, I mean, it was for a good cause. That's still like one of my most favorite podcast episodes we've ever recorded.
Oh my God. I should see if I can really, that was so much fun. Okay. Sorry. Continuing with this terrible literature.
Yep.
Okay. So the next book, I'm going to read the excerpt because I have actually read this book and it's like a really fucking like high level, hard to understand smart book.
It's an intellectual porn.
It's an intellect, but it's not porn. It's just that there are effectively some weird sex scenes. It's called The Seventh Function of Language.
Erotica. Sorry. Okay.
It's not erotica. It really isn't. It's more like, it's like all about like philosophy and like all of these French philosophers. It's by Laurent Binet. It's a French book. So I have read it in French, but now I will be reading you these excerpts in English. And I can tell you it doesn't quite have the same effect.
No splashing here.
Okay. So he puts his hands on Bianca's shoulders and slips off her low-cut top. Suddenly inspired, he whispers into her ear, as if to himself, "I desire the landscape that is enveloped in this woman, a landscape I do not know, but that I can feel, and until I have unfolded that landscape, I will not be happy." Bianca shivers with pleasure. Simon whispers to her with an authority that he has never felt before, "Let's construct an assemblage."
Assemblage.
Okay. I don't know how you're supposed to say in English. Bianca grabs Simon's dick, which is hot and hard as if it's come out of a steel forge, and connects it to her mouth machine.
Her mouth machine?
But I really feel like they're not even, like, they did not choose the best or the worst, as it were, of this book, because like I remember, I think it's the same scene where they have sex on this table in like a theater where a man's finger has just been cut off. So like, it's like very like, holy fuck. And it's supposed to be that way. So in defense of The Seventh Function of Language, even the title of the book doesn't sound as good in English. Yeah,
we'll it is it like, French.
It's La Septième Fonction du Langage. And it's a mind fuck of a book, but mostly philosophically speaking. Anyway.
And better in French, I suppose.
Yes. It's actually a bit of like a, it's like, you know how like they talk about like academics like are sometimes God, what's the expression? Where it's just like, I can't think of this, and this is gonna sound horrible on the podcast because I'm just like, anyway, I'll think about it later. Okay. Let's keep going. Let's just keep going.
The next one is Mother of Darkness by Vanita Welby. Light filters from the ravaging streaks of the dawn. It slips into fragments of every hue, and the world has hidden... What? It slips into fragments of every hue the world has hidden as it strikes the prism of their shelter. Terry's eyes expand and reflect crystal orbs of time and space. She moans in colors as he pushes the white dress away, and beyond the angelic flesh, luminescent against the damp, mossy bed.
Ooh.
Mm. And then the second part, the green grass curls around Tara's left breast as she curves her sleek physique around Maddie's diabolical torso like a vine.
Yes, diabolical, one of my favorite words.
Paralyzed, complete, the marble statue of the lovers allow itself to be painted by the dawn's lurid orange spillage. Oh, jeez.
All right, the next one is The Future Won't Be Long, Like My Penis, by Jared Kobeck. Memories of these previous encounters became distant, remote, erased, once I got down to brass tacks with Jean Dilly. With Jean, it was communication, a dialogue between two bodies, electric pulses transmitted over wires of flesh and bone. Words one cannot speak. Words that can only be heard. Skin that became skin that became skin anew. We made love and we had sex and we had sex and we made love. But reader, again, I implore, mistake me not. I am not your Pollyanna. I am not your sweet princess. We fucked, we fucked, we fucked, we fucked, we fucked, we fucked! Oh, I'm really glad I got that one.
I mean, I have to say, like, I really do enjoy when the author or slash narrator directly addresses the reader. So I can get
that. Yeah, I do too.
Okay, the next one is War Cry by Wilbur Smith and David Churchill.
Oh my god, Wilbur Smith. I hope that's his real name and not a pen name. Wilbur, who writes erotica.
With David.
Yeah,
Wilbur and Davey. I'm going to have you now. Wilbur and Davey. I'm going to have you now, Leon said. He led her back up to the beach to where the sand was dry. Then he took off his coat, placed it on the ground, and she lay down upon it. Christ, he muttered, placing himself on top of her. It's bloody cold. I might get frostbite on my cock. She gave a low purring laugh. Silly man, why don't you put it somewhere hot?
Ooh, like you were doing.
And terrible. Then he kissed her and she responded. And the boundaries between them blurred, like two watercolors on a piece of paper, joining as one to create something entirely new.
And the last one, Here Comes Trouble by Simon Rowe. Is that how you'd say that? W-R-O-E?
Sure.
Sure. I think so. Rar? First, I misread it Simon as, Rowe? Like, whore.
First time. Or whore. Let's go with that. Simon Whore. A clothed body is always human or human-like. A naked body always animal or animal-like. Only at close quarters is the full extent of a body's wildness revealed, like when a bird gets trapped inside a house. One is moved to not entirely human thinking then. One goes towards its animalness. Well, that one was dumb.
Dirt? Okay.
Whore, you got it all wrong, friend.
Although I have to say, this year, because I have actually read one of the books, and because it was like one of the most intellectual books that I read in the whole year, and it ended up on this list, I'm a little bit intrigued just for like context. Because like that particular book, like I'm pretty sure like all of the like sex stuff is supposed to be insane and over the top. Like it kind of goes with the story.
Yeah. Okay. Just Googling Here Comes Trouble by Simone Whore.
I think it's Simon. If it was Simone, it'd have an E at the end.
Yes.
True. True.
Yes, this is a male writer.
Yeah, this is a dude.
Have you guys noticed? It's always the dudes that make this list. I think all of these, Venetia Welby is probably a woman. Yeah, but everybody else seems is a dude.
To
be.
I was going to point that out, actually.
And I think that was the same last year, too. I think there was, like, yes. One token female.
Yes. It's like all of the like really unrealistic sex scenes.
Okay, so following his expulsion from school, 17-year-old Ellis Dow is sent to work with his father. His father is the editor of the Chronicle, the last bastion of free speech in their strange land, and under it and it is under threat from a heavy-handed policeman, mysterious revolutionaries, and resident Russian billionaire.
Wow, so just like 2017. Thought this was a work of fiction.
As Ellis navigates his collapsing, blacked-out city and his feelings for the oligarch's beautiful daughter, he realizes that some things are worth fighting for. But can he save his family and the newspaper fueled only by youth, grain spirit, and unrequited love? Holding Caulfield by way of Gary Schentengart, Ellis Dow calls to mind the narrators of Skippy Dies, Submarine, and Absurdian, but has a charm and energy which is very much his own. And the reviews call it a weird coming-of-age story.
Huh.
Okay.
It has 3.6... stars on Goodreads.
Yeah. Do people still use Goodreads?
I have no idea. I never really did.
I used it for a little bit. He's it was a like a nice way to track your books.
The author's a freelance journalist and former chef.
Hmm. Oh,
there's your homework, everybody.
Yeah. Add that to the broadcast book club.
Yeah. Read that for when we're not here for the rest of the month and come back and report in 2018. All right. We have a lot of shemales to get into.
As it should be.
As it should be. Do you want to get to that? We are like moving right along to.
Yes. Let's do it.
All right.
Let's do it.
Shandy, you're up first.
Sorry. I was just pulling it up on my phone.
Okay. It's your line.
Okay, our first but her shemales comes from Maggie. Listening to Dear Sugar. So Maggie writes in, I just wanted to make sure you three saw this. It's really good. I'm listening now. And it was the Dear Sugars episode, the double bind of female ambition with Secretary Hillary Rodham Clinton. And the description of the episode is that the Sugars and Secretary Hillary Rodham Clinton discuss the price of female ambition, and the secretary lays out a 3-point plan for a letter writer who feels guilty about her accomplishments, from Maggie. And when I saw that, I got really excited because I am a fan and a listener of Dear Sugar. And when I saw that episode, I about shit myself because they just like, I feel like recently, so the podcast has always been good, but I feel like recently they've sort of gotten to the next level of just like, you know, they had Oprah on.
Really?
And then, wow. Yeah, they've had like just amazing, like Cheryl Strayed is apparently like friends with Oprah now because of like her book Wild was picked up for the book club and they have this like personal connection now. And then, you know, they like also got Hillary Clinton on the podcast. Pretty amazing stuff. It like I actually thought about sharing that with everyone immediately, and then I was just like, "Slow down. You don't have to tell everyone everything you do."
Why? That's what I do. Yeah, on here.
Seriously, I know. I think it's because it's my sort of like default also, and then I get self conscious that I'm doing it too much. Nah. But
we need to step up our game in 2018. We need to get Simon Rowe on the podcast.
Yeah.
Simon Hoare.
Come be on the show.
Yes. Yeah, to talk about his weird coming of age story. Yes. And his 17-year-old sex scene.
Yeah. Although, can we get a refresher on what the premise of Dear Sugar is? Because I know we've talked about it, but yes. I can't remember like who the parts and players are.
It's a podcast that's Cheryl Strayed and Steve Almond, who I only know of Steve Almond through the podcast, but they're both writers. I've just never read anything that he's written. And they receive letters, and usually in the past, like what it's always been is they'll, for each show, they'll choose sort of a theme and they'll answer like maybe two or three letters on that same theme. And they always get a guest, and it's usually somebody from the world of literature, at least in the past, that's how it's been. So like, you know, if they get letters on like infidelity, they'll reach out to somebody who's written about infidelity. And especially when it's like a sort of memoir, like nonfiction type of writing, and they'll talk about it. And they're just like really, there's like a lot of empathy. They just like really want to like understand people and support people. And it's just honestly like it's a breath of fresh air to listen to their podcast, because in a world of politics, like everyone should be sugars. And then, you know, obviously like it's, I can't remember when Cheryl Strayed started doing the podcast with Steve, if it was like before or after Wild, but obviously since then, in any case, like, it's become much more well-known because she's become much more well-known. And so it's changed a little bit. And in the last season in particular, they've sort of transformed some of the things that they were doing. And that's when they've had like special episodes and you know, like crazy well-known guests. Yeah. And stuff.
Nice. Well, I've just added it to my library. So I look forward to listening to it.
Oh, it's super good. They're just really thoughtful and just so nice.
Cool.
Nice.
All right. I have the next email, and this is from Anonymous. It is called Dating Advice. Hey, girls. I was wondering if you might have any advice for someone who is fairly new to dating / has not dated a lot. A friend from high school that lives nearby messaged me asking if I was interested in being set up. I said that I was, so the three of us met up at Starbucks just to meet and get to know each other, and I had a really good time, a really nice time. I thought I might be there for about an hour or so, but we were there for close to 3 hours. He's into war reenacting, and our mutual friend has been trying to get him into cosplay, and he seems really open to it. After I had to leave, we chatted a lot the rest of the day via messenger or text, and have been texting on and off every single day since. He has called me beautiful / gorgeous multiple times, which is certainly not something I am used to, as I feel like most of the time I am ignored or overlooked by guys. He even said that he'll get nervous and stutter around beautiful girls, and was stuttering when we first met. We have a lot of the same interests, especially since he is into reenacting, and I really enjoy cosplaying Agent Carter from Captain America, and have developed an appreciation for vintage fashion and music. We're actually meeting up again tonight to go swing dancing at a local place, and it should be fun. He's not exactly someone that I would have normally found myself attracted to, but I feel like it would be worth giving things a chance with him. The only thing is that I have a very limited dating experience and can be a bit socially awkward when first getting to know someone. Any advice you ladies might have on that front would be extremely welcome. Anonymous.
Anonymous. I think you've got it down. Like, I don't think you actually need our advice. I think you are good to go. You're doing the things. You guys have stuff in common. You're having fun dates. Like, just go. I don't think it matters if you have experience. Agreed. Dating. Yeah.
Yep. I think just the best advice is to get out of your head.
Yeah.
Because that's just going to make you more awkward as, like, one of the most awkward human beings on the planet.
Amanda was in the splash zone today.
Yeah.
That's like my new favorite word, phrase.
Yeah, you're welcome. But we actually, it's funny, we actually talked about this in therapy today, and my therapist made a really great analogy that I will share with you, Anonymous. This idea of having a swarm of bees around your head. And when you've got all these bees going and you're like constantly overthinking things, you're not really present and you're not really with yourself. Mm. And that's sort of where a lot of the awkwardness comes, because you're trying to anticipate how everybody else thinks about you and how everyone else is going to react. And you're not really there. So just try and quiet down those bees and just do what you're already doing, because you seem to be on the right track. And if it is right, like, he's going to think your awkwardness is endearing. So, and if he doesn't, if he thinks it's weird, then he's probably not the right guy for you. And you move on to the next one.
Yeah, right. I like that advice. I would add that I think that if you guys are clicking as well as, you know, you seem to be, you're probably, you know, it's going to be easy and natural to come up with different things to talk about. And if you find yourself in a couple of moments of silence because, you know, you've run out of things to talk about, that's not the end of the world. It doesn't mean things are going bad by any means. You know, something else will come up, or you could even joke about, you know, some kind of funny code joke or something, to kind of break the silence. You can always also tell them about this podcast, and you guys can always just fall back to talking about us.
Yep. Well, and not for nothing. I think silence is a really interesting thing on dates and when it comes to dating, because as human beings, we are terrified of silence.
Yeah.
We think that there is something wrong with us and our ability to converse with other people when there is silence.
I don't know. I think I'm winning when I'm not talking. So
yeah. And I think there's actually something, it's a positive if you can be with another person and not be talking and not feel uncomfortable. God. It means there is a connection there, which is a good thing. So don't always be afraid of silence.
Yeah. Because you'll find something.
Definitely. Also, you can always comment about how you're feeling awkward.
Yeah.
Yep.
And, like, by doing so, you'll make yourself feel less awkward.
Yeah.
Like, the elephant in the room.
Sometimes Jay and I will be like, damn, you're really boring today. Or something like that.
No, I love the comfort of being able to sit with someone else in quietness and not feel weird.
Yes.
That it's like you've unlocked this achievement of, like, being bonded to that person. Yeah. You don't have to talk. So nice.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an introvert, guys.
Right. And, like, so it seems like the main problem is just that Anonymous doesn't feel like they have very much dating experience, but, like, that doesn't matter at all.
Yeah. Right? It really doesn't. Do things your way, it'll come, you know, naturally when it feels right.
Well, yeah. And it's like lots of dating experience doesn't make you a better dater. Like, dating is one of the few things that, like, more experience doesn't necessarily make you any better or worse. I mean, yes, it'll make you potentially a better conversationalist. Like, it'll make you less uncomfortable in awkward situations. But, like, if you don't have chemistry with the other person, like, no amount of practice will ever change that.
Yes.
Wow, so that's good. Yeah.
So ergo, don't matter. If you like this person and they like you, it doesn't matter if you've been on 50 dates before or 5.
Exactly. And from big sister advice to you, just make sure you want the tea and don't ever get pressured into taking the tea if you don't want it.
Yep.
I had to throw that out there.
No, it's good. It's a very important point.
I got a little protective there.
Yep.
All right. But no, keep us posted. Yay, this is exciting.
Yes. Yes. I want to know how the swing dancing went. I think all places should have swing dancing. I think that's such a great idea for a date. I love it.
Yes. And if you guys start doing couples cosplay, I really need to know about this.
Seriously. Which, like, I would love to be enlightened if anyone wants to write back. A little bit confused on what the cosplay is. It seems like it's, like, really kinky shit, but I think that it's not.
It's not. It's when you dress up as a character.
Right?
And go to conventions and stuff as that character. Or, you know, as yourself. Okay, whatever.
One of the things, like, in most cosplay.
You leave your key at the door in a bowl.
In a fishbowl. Because in, like, cosplay, it's also, like, your costumes are really elaborate. You don't just, like, go to Ricky's and buy, like, a bag costume.
Yeah, it's, like...
Right? Like, cosplay is much more, like, involved.
Yeah. And I think cosplay involves a very specific attitude and, like, confidence and whatnot. Like, you gotta be able to, like, you know, own it and whatnot. So, yes. I think that our Anonymous has it in her to... If she has... All right, Shandy... Shandy is, like, seriously really wants to know more about this cosplay stuff, and we are not satisfying her answer.
She wants to know the sex component.
Because there has to be one.
Right? How does sex work?
Well, when a man and a woman really love each other.
Or a man and a man, or a woman and a woman.
Two people.
Two people. Sort of, really
love each other. Two and they really love costumes.
When two or more people
love fashion as much as each other.
But just character fashion.
But just character fashion. A very, very specific, very detail-oriented type of fashion.
So now you've got me curious. So I'm sure you've got your, like, you know, couples costumes, but can you have, like, hate fucking cosplay? Like, I don't know who Agent Carter's enemy would be, but, like, I don't know.
I think you could do whatever the hell you want.
Well, we'll have to find out when we get our next update. Shandy's just like dying soon. Here. All right, moving on. We have now entered the sexual assault portion of the program.
The jokes end here, folks.
The jokes end here.
End of the line for the jokes.
For now. We're going to finish up with, we have fun emails to finish, but we've got a couple here that touch on the topic of, well, you know.
America.
America.
Well, actually, since the dawn of time, but.
Yeah, the sexual assault Armageddon. So this is from Michael. A piece about guys who just don't know how to act anymore, these poor lost souls. And the article attached says, in wake of Weinstein, men wonder if hugging women is still okay. Now, I immediately was like, what the fuck? Is this like from, I don't know, like GQ or something? But it's not. It's actually from a CBS local affiliate in Los Angeles. So it's an actual news piece. Piece of journalism, if you will. Steve Wired, gosh, this is just as bad as this Sullivan whore, whatever the name was.
Whore.
Thought that he knew what sexual harassment looked like. Put out or lose your job, overture. Now he's not so sure. have we gotten to the point now where men can't say, that's a nice dress, or did you do something with your hair, says the veteran sales associate for a Los Angeles company. The potential problem is you can't even feel safe saying good morning anymore. I feel really bad for you if you don't know how to appropriately say good morning.
Yeah, seriously, it might just be your dumbness.
How about, you know, not saying good morning? Did you get laid last night? Probably crossed the line.
You look very perky today.
Yeah.
Good morning.
Good morning. Are you wearing a new bra?
Yeah. Looks like it.
That's in the no column. The sexual misconduct allegations that have brought down powerful men in Hollywood media, politics, and business are sending a shiver through the workplace. Men are wondering if it's still okay to hug a female colleague or ask about her weekend. And some are asking themselves if they ever, perhaps even inadvertently, crossed the line. Okay, there's so much to unpack even in that paragraph. Since this is kind of a long article, well, we could take it like paragraph by paragraph like that if you want. So that way we can cut through the fat. I'm glad that some people are asking if they've inadvertently crossed the line.
Yeah, it's positive.
That's positive. Mm-hmm. How about you can say, did you have a nice weekend? I feel like that's a fair thing to say, right?
Well, I think it's kind of like a good rule of thumb. Would you say it to your mother? Would you say it to your grandmother?
Yes.
There you go.
Yes.
Good.
Exactly.
Probably not sexual harassment.
Except don't say I love you or give them a hug if they don't want it.
Crap. Oh, guys, we're screwed.
If Garrison Keller, I've always said it Keller in my head, but I've also always said Robert Mueller, but I know it's Mueller, so my pronunciations are all off. If Garrison Keillor, the gentle-natured former host of public radio's A Prairie Home Companion, can be fired for accidentally, he said, placing his hand on a woman's bare back, could they get in trouble for something similar? I think it was a lot more than just putting his hand on a bare back, but okay.
Right.
That one hasn't really gotten that much attention. It's kind of hard to know what's going on.
Well, that one did not get that much attention because Matt Lauer
happened in the same breath.
Yes. And you know, I said on Thanksgiving, we were watching the parade, and I said to my family,
that's how we refer to each other now.
Yes.
Family, you want to talk about people getting called out? I said, there's Matt Lauer. I'm surprised that nobody has accused him yet. He's like a walking advertisement for workplace sexual harassment and assault.
Yep. Everybody knew that shoe was just inches from the ground.
He fucking assaulted someone so hard that they passed out and had to go to the hospital.
Oof. God, I didn't hear that story. That's awful.
Yeah. One of the accounts I was reading, he like called her into the office and like, you know, did the little click lock on locked her in from his desk, and then like said bend over and had sex with her so hard that she woke up without her pants on, and his assistant took her to get checked out by health.
That is disgusting.
Isn't that disgusting? Matt Lauer, everybody. But he is a good guy. It's like a family member. Death in the family. Everybody's totally shocked that he got fired. Nope, not really.
No one was shocked.
Sorry.
I think they were shocked how quickly he got fired, one should have been shocked at the allegations.
Mm. All right, so skipping around. Essentially, the gist of this story is dudes don't know how to talk to women in the workplace because they're afraid that they might hold the door open for someone and they'll call sexual harassment.
So here's also my my advice.
Yes.
An interesting thing about the door. I'm going to come back to that. But my advice to be, I don't know if it's even advice. It's just like pointing out the obvious. I guess like men are all like scared about interacting with women in the workplace. But I don't know, maybe like ask some advice to women. Because we don't seem to have the same problem of interactions with men where we feel the need to sexually assault them or sexually harass them with every interaction. So maybe what we do.
Right.
Right. Yeah. You don't hear women that are afraid of crossing the line.
Right. So yeah, I don't know. Like, if you guys really want to know, just ask away. We can give advice. But interesting that you talk about opening the door, because that, like, you know, it's a non-sexual act, whatever. But I recently had an interaction where somebody, a dude, opened the door for me, and then proceeded to ask why I was carrying these heavy things, like, because don't I have a guy that could do that for me? His literal quote. Mm. Yes. And he was just sort of appalled, because why should I be doing that? And then he wanted to accompany me to help me to deliver the things that I was already carrying. And I had to insist that, like, no, like, essentially you're not welcome. And he was saying, well, you know, I was raised differently. I was raised to open doors for women, blah, blah, blah. And it kind of pissed me off, because I was like, you know, like, thank you. I know it's coming from a misguided but hopefully good place. But I was also raised differently. What, like, why do men get to have that as the excuse? I was raised differently. I was raised to do this. Well, okay, I was raised differently too. And I was raised to open doors for myself and not have things given to me. I don't know. Like, okay.
So I work in a heavily trafficked building, in and out. And mm-hmm. honestly, if somebody is ahead of me and they hold the door open for me, male or female, I appreciate it, because they're being a nice person.
But that's just it.
I do the same
thing. There's being nice, right. Yeah. There's being
right, nice, because you shouldn't be holding the door open because of what parts the person has. You should exactly. be opening the door for someone because they're behind you, because it's the nice thing to do.
And I open doors for men and women all the time, because whatever, I'm in front of them, it's more convenient, I see that, like, they need help, whatever. But I do not appreciate having somebody not only open the door for me. Like, it's not just that he was opening doors for me. It was that he was explicitly telling me that he's doing it because I'm a woman and he's a man. I'm just like, dude, I don't need your help.
I have nothing to do with it.
I will say the one time that I actually got somewhat upset was, and there's only ever been once, it was the end of April. I was pregnant with Zach. So I had to have been about 34 weeks pregnant, maybe 35 weeks. And I had a program that I was putting on, and I parked on the street and had to walk down the street across the cross street into the building. And I am carrying a lot of stuff. I mean, I have it on the pull cart thing, like, stacked up, and I got things in my arms, and I'm trying to not make multiple trips because I'm running late. And the News and Observer, the daily newspaper in town, I parked in front of their parking lot, and there were these two dudes that were out back smoking cigarettes, watching me as I'm dropping things, heavily pregnant, and just laughing at the comedy that is me trying to get down the road. And I was so offended, and I don't think I was offended because it was their men watching me. It was that there were these two, like, human beings watching me.
Right.
That never once offered to help. I still remember how that was. And I was, that is being a dick. Offering to help me in that case, I would not have cried sexual harassment. I would have been grateful, because I will never, I had, like, bruises across my stomach from that the next day. And these two assholes were laughing. I know this has nothing to do with sexual harassment, but I'm still angry about it today, and I need to get it out.
No, I'm angry for you. That's fucked up.
It was really fucked up. Because they didn't want to walk across their small parking lot of, you know, that held like 18 cars and go help the pregnant lady. They just had to laugh at her.
And that's where there's, like, no sort of, like, social finesse or, like, nuancing or understanding different circumstances where, like, okay, you're raised differently, you're raised to that. But then all of a sudden, if it's, like, inconvenient, but it's,
what,
like, a legit.
You near me with your cigarette, you had to put it out. You had to, like, help me carry something. Oh, I'm so mad.
Where you can actually help a human being in need. And yeah, like, I will hold the door open for, like, the elderly. I don't care if you're a man or a woman. And I'm sorry if I emasculated you, but if you can hardly, you know, push the door open, then I'm going to help you out, because for me, that's being just a decent human being. But
exactly.
Right.
Like, I for one, am an able-bodied person who can push a door open, and if I need help, I will ask you for it, and I don't need you to single me out to, you know, essentially this dude was going to accompany me while I was already doing the work, and then just, like, show up and, like,
say,
yeah, like, really? Like, no, just go away. I'm fine.
Got this. I've got this. Thanks.
The article says that the one gentleman that was running a company of 70 employees says that his employees, treat everybody the way that you'd want them to treat your sister. Or how about just like treat everybody the way you'd want to be treated?
Exactly. Isn't that the fucking golden rule? Like, hasn't that gone down?
I guess they're hoping that maybe they're hoping that somebody will just go grab their dick so they're so they're whipping it out to saw a weekend update. It was talking about,
I haven't seen from this past week.
This past week.
I haven't seen it yet.
So one of the jokes, spoiler alert, they're talking about Flynn getting arrested, General Flynn. I think Colin Jost was like, I, for one, am super happy, super relieved to see a man get arrested for something that wasn't sexual harassment. What, you just lied to the FBI? He didn't, like, go into the room and then whip it out? And it was really funny. I'm not doing the job justice.
Change of pace.
Yeah. Oh. And then the other story, as I'm looking through this article, that sort of offends me, the way that it's told, is another gentleman who worked as a spokesman for the California government agencies and a California congressman who is now a political consultant, says his most egregious transgression was ordering a female intern to fetch him a cup of coffee. She glared at me like I was just the worst person in the world, he recalls. I would like to apologize to her now, but after these many, many years, I can't remember her name.
I'm sure you can't.
Yeah. Well,
I don't know. Yeah. Was that part of her job? Was she getting coffee for everybody else? Did you say, hey, could you please get me one too? Or were you, right. Was she working and you were like, you, go get me coffee? I mean, again, there's a way of asking things without being a dick. It doesn't have to be sexual harassment.
Right.
Sorry.
Is that, like, question?
Yeah.
Like, real question. Is that actually still, like, a thing, a position where somebody fetches you coffee? Like, do interns fetch coffee? Are people, even, like, quote-unquote important people, so busy that they can't get coffee by them? Like, with their own two hands?
Yeah, I think it depends.
I have no idea.
Yeah, I've definitely been in places where, like, assistants or interns have gone on coffee runs.
Isn't that kind of common in, like, production kind of stuff, Amanda?
Yeah. I think, you know, on set, also, you know, if you go to like a post house or something where it's, you know, it's part of like the client services, you know, it's like you come in to do your work and like, you know, an assistant or a receptionist or an intern will come in and be like, hey, you know, how's it going? We're going to do a Starbucks run. Does anyone want anything? You know, it's kind of, but it like, it's also clear that it is part of that person's job responsibilities. It's not like a,
I think, hey, just go do
this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where you walk in, it's all about like appeasing to the client and they're.
Yeah. So yeah, it's like something that like that person that is going to get the coffee is aware that is like part of their job description. And that's like something that like they know they do like in amongst their other tasks.
Yeah. Like when we go to swimming lessons, somebody will ask us, they have hot chocolate out. They're like, would you like some hot chocolate? Like, they'll come up to the parents. And I'm like,
that must be kind of weird, like drinking hot chocolate when you're in like a sweaty, like pool room.
Well, there's marshmallows, so it's not that weird.
Well, I'm not saying it's not delicious. I always feel like when you go into like the pool room, it's always like hot and.
Yeah, well, we're not, it's separated by glass, so we can see everything. Luckily, we're not in, like, that breathing in the chlorine. Anyway, we're getting off topic. Sorry.
We are so off topic. We are far afield.
Sexual harassment.
And here we said there weren't going to be any jokes.
Yeah, there's always jokes.
There's always jokes.
All right, moving on.
Yes, so interesting article sent to us by Rebecca. She says, hi, Colleen, Shani, and Amanda. I came across this article a few days ago at this point. Sorry, it was a few weeks ago. And I thought it tied in nicely to what you've been talking about on the podcast over the last few weeks. Thought you might find it interesting. So it's an article on Vox.com in the culture section. And it is a very interesting article. It's also very long, so I'm not going to read the whole thing. But if you want to go and look it up yourself, I'm going to read the title of the article and maybe some of the other like subsection titles. And I think it's a very interesting topic to discuss. So the title of the article is, instead of mourning great art tainted by awful men, mourn the work we lost from their victims. Some sexual abusers made great art. Countless more of their victims never got a chance. So this topic in general is one that we've been talking about a little bit about offline. I've been talking about in my personal life, and I'm just going to scroll through and read some of the other highlights. Every story of sexual harassment and abuse contains a story of lost potential. Talks about like the Louis C.K. stuff. Then another highlight is, it's time to stop mourning the complicated legacies of terrible men and start mourning what we lost from the people they targeted. Sort of going back to the title. And I think like that's sort of like the overall sentiment. And I know that I've been having this conversation recently. Like, one of the people on my Go Fuck Yourself list is Woody Allen. And it's complicated because like my husband really likes Woody Allen movies in true French style. I think we've mentioned this before. The French just love Woody Allen. And so it's problematic. And like, we still don't really agree on like what's the right approach. And I firmly believe that, like, yeah, okay, like, maybe, I mean, whatever, Woody Allen's Woody Allen. I don't like his movies anyway, because I'm not, I guess that's, like, the test. I'm not actually French. I don't like Woody Allen. But I don't also, I don't think that we need to support artists who are terrible human beings. And I think it's even, it's, like, my background is also in art history, and so when I think back about, you know, like, all of the famous artists that have made it into the canon and all that, there's so many problematic people. And so is it okay to like Gauguin, who spread, you know, STDs and like syphilis and stuff in to underage women in Tahiti? Like, that's problematic. And I can sort of almost like just sort of like forget about that and concentrate on his art, which is maybe a problem on my end, but because it's like so far removed. But when you look at somebody who's like contemporary and you're like, I know this person's a piece of shit and has done these terrible things, then I don't want to give them any more economic capital. And I think there are, like this article talks about, there are so many other people that we could be supporting, because there are so many great artists in the world that, like, right, who you choose, you know, the movies and the artists, you know, that you choose to support, that's, it's a choice.
Well, but it's, so yeah, doing? I think it's a layered thing. And I think that's, you know, I like how she kind of ends up with this sort of like, of course you can mourn the fact, because a lot of these people did really make wonderful contributions to art, and some of those films, you know, like the Weinsteins, like the Weinstein Company has touched so many great films, and they've given a lot of great filmmakers their start, and we wouldn't have a lot of great films without the Weinstein Company. Like that's an undeniable fact, unfortunately. And I think that, yeah, if you're gonna mourn the artist, you have to mourn everything. I think, you know, you have to mourn the fact that that woman that got sexually harassed and gave up on her dream of being an actress, being a writer, mm-hmm. being a producer, and went home. You know, you have to also mourn the fact that she probably could have created something really cool too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, you wonder what could have been for some people. This is, I mean, it's a lot of food for thought, this article, and I can definitely put this in the show link in the show notes, like, mm-hmm. when you read the description, if you want to click on the link and have a more in-depth conversation about this. I think we can do it either in the Facebook comments, or you can email us in. The Facebook group is facebook.com/group/JaneJackGroups, or the Patrons Facebook group, if you're in it, we can talk about it there too. I know sometimes that's more of a safe place where we get some of our more, what's the word? Controversial comments, hot button comments in there. Or you can email us broadcasters3@gmail.com or call us 331-276-2373.
Yeah. And I think actually, like, one of the interesting takeaways from this article is also, it kind of like ties back in to one of our early themes of the podcast, which is support female made media. Yeah. And support the media of, you know, less well represented groups, support everything that's created, you know, by like people of color and stuff like that. Yeah. So just like support the women, and by supporting the women, like, you could be supporting, you know, like some of the, you certainly will be supporting some of the victims, because all women, you know, yes, all women, but I think that that's where that's where I choose to like focus my personal support when I'm thinking about where I want to spend my money in terms of like artistic expression and stuff.
Yeah, and I think that's great. And I think challenging yourself to find voices that you aren't used to seeing in film or on TV. Mm-hmm. You know, women, people of color, marginalized groups. It is a challenge because the machine isn't built to push those people to the forefront all the time. So it does require a little more participation from the viewer's perspective to find those things and to seek them out. But I think that is something that we all could be doing and should be doing.
Well, definitely. And like to another throwback to like one of our first episodes, I mentioned a long time ago that because of the book Cunt, I got the idea from them to only read women authors for a while. And I've been doing that ever since. So it's been like kind of like coming on 2 years now that I haven't read a book, like a novel or anything, or like a book of poetry or anything by a dude. And like, I don't feel a lack. It's okay. Because like there's so much to discover and there's so, you know, I have years, like all of the school years and everything of reading mostly just like straight white men. So, you know, I feel like I've got that sort of perspective, you know, I kind of know what it's about. And of course there are intricacies and, you know, differences in that too, but like there's a lot more out there. And you get to choose what you want to focus on.
Yep.
All right, then. Let's get into the next one, which...
Yes, the next email is from Greg. It's called Moving On, Moving Forward. Hey, Amanda, Shandy, and Colleen. I wanted to ask you ladies about what we should do in the wake of all the horrendous sexual assaults that have been revealed lately. Specifically, when it comes to people within music, movies, TV, how do fans react? How do we move forward from it? See you above. No, just kidding. Kind of. The most recent example that has hit close to my daily life is Jesse Lacey, singer, male lyricist of Brand New. I won't go into details here. People can Google for that. But there are now multiple accusations of him preying on and abusing/assaulting women, often starting when they were minors. He admitted to general wrongdoing, but didn't deny any of it in his statement. Brand New was one of my all-time favorite bands. Their songs helped me in some of my darkest moments, but knowing all of this made me decide to never listen to them again. Many of the song lyrics now seem to potentially refer to some of this, and it's just not and it's just not something I need in my life. I won't judge anyone who continues to listen to them, but I can't. On another note, there is the Kevin Spacey stuff. He didn't mean as much to me as Brand New, but I find myself stuck in how I should react to this one. As in, Baby Driver is probably my favorite movie of the year so far. Spacey's in it. It's a small but pivotal role.
Oh, that's why, right. That is a good movie.
Yeah. And I wouldn't even say it's that small of a role. Like, no, I would say, he's a supporting. He's a fairly... I think you could even make the argument that he's a lead character. While I don't want to watch it again, given recent event, part of me feels like I could watch that again one day. But I feel like that's inconsistent with how I am reacting to the Brand New stuff. While ultimately, I think how we all react can and should vary, what do you three think? Should we retire any media when someone involved is outed as a monster? Does their role and how significant it was in that media make a difference? There's always more music, movies, TV out there. Does any of it involving these people need any attention, or should we just leave it to the past? At the end of the day, my struggle with this is insignificant compared to the pain of the victims out there, especially since even when the allegations are admitted to, there are people who attack/victim blame them anyway. While realizing all that, I don't think figuring out how to feel and what action to take is necessary for us, even if it's not the most important thing. What do you think? Have any of the recent allegations come from within something you have enjoyed? How have you reacted? Sorry for the darker topic, but it's obviously kind of everywhere these days. I'm trying to find the best way forward. Thanks. I feel like, you know, we talked about this a lot, but the Kevin Spacey Baby Driver thing had me thinking, and I think this is where it's kind of hard when it comes from an actor, because you don't want to support the actor, but you also, the actor didn't create the art. They're just sort of presenting it. So I think something like with Baby Driver, where that's kind of a new, younger director, writer-director, it's kind of like, he didn't do anything wrong other than cast Kevin Spacey, who turned out to be an asshole. Mm-hmm. So I think that's where this becomes much more complicated. Because again, you know, the industry being what it is, you know, a studio looks at numbers and they come to their own conclusions, that it's sort of like, oh, are people not watching this because they don't like it? Are they not watching this because of an actor that's involved, you know? And they kind of come to their own conclusions.
Be honest, they're probably asking, was the lead woman hot enough? Is that what
exactly? Mm-hmm. So I think in those kind of cases, I really struggle with it, particularly in that case where it is a filmmaker that's still trying to make their career, and the only, you know, and at the time that was probably really good strategy of like, you're a young filmmaker trying to get your film made, and it's like, oh, we can attach a big name star like Kevin Spacey to this film. Like, of course you want that. John Hamm, Jamie Foxx. Like, it's a great cast.
I mean, sorry. Well, I know. I'm sorry, Amanda. I didn't mean to cut you.
No, I don't even think I had a final button to this.
I just want to say, because Greg, I know I've seen you on your Facebook posts in general, that you're clearly an ally from some of the things that I've seen. And this may be controversial, but this is kind of how I feel, is that it's okay to look at somebody who you idolized and go, man, I'm really bummed. I'm really disappointed. Like, it's okay. It's a conflicting time for, like, you know, nobody wants to be wrong about somebody that they idolized. Nobody wants to, because, you know, you didn't idolize them. You didn't go in there and be like, you know what? That guy seems like a piece of shit, but I love him and I want to, you know, I want to idolize him too. I mean, you know, I don't know. I think that it's okay to have the gut reaction of being disappointed in somebody that you didn't want to end up being a bad person.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, I think it also comes down to a little bit of like, the people in charge, like, what did they know and when? So, I mean, just like you're saying, Amanda, like, if, you know, certain things were filmed like before the Kevin Spacey stuff came out, can you really fault the people? No. You know, and that's where I see a difference with like Woody Allen, for example, because he's the director, like his name is attached to the movie, and we've known for a long time that he's basically a piece of shit.
People still right. give it's his art. Standing ovations at Academy.
Oh my God. Yeah. Let me tell you about that. Like that, that takes me back to a time where like, I mean, just like conversations with professors in grad school and like, I'm sorry, you can call me a Puritan all you want, but like, I just can't get behind that. That's just like, it's not okay. And we can't normalize it. And we can't make it okay, because that's how all this shit perpetuates.
Right. Because now we're kind of at this watershed moment where now we have an opportunity to change how we do things.
But you know what?
So that we don't do this again in 20, 30, 40, 50 years.
And I don't even know if we're at this. I don't even know if things will actually change. I know that sounds really pessimistic, but
yeah,
there's always
everyone. Well, if you're in politics, that's where you don't fall. Especially if you're a Republican candidate in politics, you don't fall. So
party is more important.
There's still real big exceptions. I think like, you know, sexism is like more rampant than ever because of politics. But
the politics thing is partisan, because we've learned that there is actually a fund that Congress people from both sides of the aisle have fucking used to pay out people for sexual harassment claims. And that's ridiculous to me.
Well, yeah. And sexual assault, it is not partisan. It is how it is being dealt with is very much on partisan lines.
Well, I think, I mean, and that's what we've seen though, is that sexism is a problem that is pervasive even across the aisle. And while you can say that certain reactions on the more left-leaning side sometimes tend to be better, I mean, we've seen very clear sexism on the left. I'm looking at you, Bernie Bros. And so it's not like all of that stuff goes together. So yeah, like that is a bipartisan effort, is sexism in America. It's just that it's particularly poignant sometimes and very malicious with certain people on certain sides. But it's definitely a problem that it's a societal issue as a whole. Right. So it's not linked only to one side.
Yeah.
But that's maybe why it's also so hard to actually
get change.
And change, yeah.
So I'm not as positive that we're going to be moving forward in it. I don't know.
Right. But I think the answer,
cyclical. We just keep making the same mistakes over and over again.
Right. But I do think the answer is much like we were talking about for supporting female-driven media, is just like elect more women. Like we just need women in charge, because again, women are not perfect. And that's, you know, that would be sexist too, to like put women on a pedestal, and that's its own brand of sexism. But, you know, generally speaking, you know, they're just not as often the sexual predators. They're not as often, you know, just elect more women. That's all.
Elect the people that can do the job without showing their genitals to people.
Without showing their dicks. Elect the people who can do the job without showing their penis to people.
Yep.
I went
more inclusive with my genitals term.
I was specifically excluding sister.
But I was alluding to that. Yeah.
If anybody has anything to add to this discussion, I'm sorry. I didn't realize you weren't done.
Oh no. Sorry. I was just like, that last comment was just making me think, like, can you just imagine like a woman like flashing her vagina at people? Like in the street or like in a professional environment, or like can you all imagine that? Like it just wouldn't happen. Like what the fuck?
She did call a lot of names.
I mean, never say never, but I think the odds are very unlikely.
I mean, I'm not saying that it couldn't ever happen, because just like you said, Amanda, the odds, but I'm also saying that statistically, holy shit, men get it together.
Like, seriously.
Fuck.
All right.
Anyway, sorry.
Okay, that's all right. If you have anything to add to this, including terrible sex scenes involving women in the boardroom showing their vaginas, please let us know. Broadcast players are always... We haven't had a good broadcast players before tonight in a while.
Yeah, I would like to throw it out there. It'd be nice to have one for our 69 show next week.
It would be.
Watch what you ask for, because that's dangerous.
That's all right. Bring it. Bring it.
Okay, yeah.
And then we'd like to have more of those in 2018.
Yes, please. But
I think we're going to finish off with, speaking of random things, we weren't, but...
we are now.
We'll finish off with an email from JP.
Yeah, just a happy late way to close the show. It is titled Random Dreams. Hello, ladies. Happy holidays. So hearing Amanda talk about her Christmas photo session dreams reminded me of two very weird dreams I have had. The first one was from a very long time ago.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. I had a nightmare where I was being chased and shot at by characters from the TV show What's Happening? Like Dynamite? Like that? What's Happening? I've looked in dream books for an explanation, but unfortunately dream books only seem to cover TV shows dating back to the 80s. The horror! Another strange dream was from falling asleep while I was watching the movie Alive. If you've never... saw this movie, it was about the rugby team whose plane crashed in the Andes.
I've never seen it, but I've heard about it enough to know that I don't want to see it.
I don't think I've even heard about it.
Yeah, I don't think I have.
Don't want to see it.
Oh wait, so JP continues. He says the survivors were stranded for 70 plus days and resorted to eating the crash victims to survive. Ooh. Oh my god, my stomach!
I told you you didn't want to eat it. Eat it.
Eat it!
No!
Eat it!
Eat it!
My dream included images of being in the plane crash, as well deciding with the others if it was a good idea to eat the dead. I absolutely woke up the next morning completely distorted because of how real the dream felt. I also had sausage for breakfast. Go figure.
Oh, gross.
The man also has steak at Waffle House. I would expect nothing less. As always, all my best. Now officially, VAJ. JP.
I think he wants to be called Vag.
I think so too. I think he's asking for it.
Vag. Right. Always gotta one up me, huh, JP? Gotta have crazier dreams.
Ew. I can't think of the last crazy dream I've had.
Yeah, no.
I'm gonna start writing them down for the next week.
I think you should.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you very much for that, JP. I guess that's where we'll wrap it up for today.
don't watch Alive.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Don't intend to at this point.
Especially if you're
a sausage. I don't know if the director is, you know, like a sexual assaulter or not, but for other reasons, just don't watch Alive.
Just for the content, you know. If you are queasy, if you're weak of stomach, perhaps not.
Support female media, female creative. Oh my god!
Or just
content created by females, women,
like females, minorities, marginalized, LGBTQ.
If anybody, actually, all right, let's throw this out there. Some homework for 2018. If anybody has anybody that they'd like us to try to contact and reach out to or or talk to or anything like that, or you out there creating content. Let us know. Shoot us an email. Maybe we can work something out.
Yeah, I want to talk to if any of our listeners are out there creating stuff, because we're not going to get like Beyonce,
Vag supporting Vag.
Yeah.
And not necessarily Vag owners. Like, you don't have to actually have a Vag.
Yeah.
You know.
No. I just want to say the word Vag because JP got me started on it.
Yes. I will say our special episodes where we have done that and then interviewed people have been some of my favorites. So.
Yes. Mine too.
Me too. So yeah, please. I mean, the offer is out there on the table as we evolve and start a new calendar year of broadcasting. All right. I have clearly hit a wall.
Good with the words. Good use of words.
Real good with the... I'm going to blame it on the sinuses. Anyway, we did the patrons at the start of the show, but thanks again, patreon.com/JayandJack, if you want to check that out. And you can get you can vote on the Patron's Choice show and listen to Amanda's amazing appearance on the November Patreon show. I also have hangouts last month. Not the November one, but the October one. Shandy and I were on it.
Nice.
This past
month. Kind of forgot about that.
Yeah. This past month, I think it was Nick was there. So you can check that out too, the Hangout level. But if you want to shop through the Amazon link, it's janejack.com/Amazon, all lowercase letters. It'll take you right to a handy dandy little affiliates page. If you like what we do, leave us a review. The broadcasters on iTunes. We're actually on a bunch of different platforms. We're on Stitcher now. We're on Google Play. We're on something else. We got an email about it.
Oh, nice. Mystery streaming services.
Mystery streaming services. Let's see. What is this called?
Stitcher used to be my jam.
Spreaker.
Before I was on. Yeah.
We're on Spreaker now.
Nice.
Which means you can also play us on Alexa. So you can say, Alexa, play the broadcast.
if you want it.
Oh, Alexa just told me that she can't write. I don't know what she's saying. She's talking to me out there. So anyway, you can check us out in all these wonderful places. Join us next week, December 12th, for the live 69 show. 9 o'clock. I will send out links in the Facebook groups.
Send us all of your sex feedback.
All of your sex feedback, especially your 69 feedbacks. We want to end this show. We want to end 2017 on a fun sexual note.
I thought you were going to say on a happy ending.
On a happy ending.
Happy ending.
That's why we're having the 69 show.
Yep.
It's a happy ending to 2017.
Let us have a happy ending to a batshit crazy year.
Oh my god, Alexa is still talking. She may be playing us. I'm not really
sure. Shut up, Alexa.
All right, well, I guess on that note, guys, we'll see you next week. live. All right, I'm Colleen.
I'm Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
Peace out.
See you later. Bye.